I'm going to introduce our 10-minute speaker. The other mic over here.
Thank you, Ron.
I'm Mike, and I am an alcoholic.
Hi.
I want to thank Richard for asking me to be the 10-minute speaker. Threw a curve at me, but that's all right. I'm grateful to be here and be sober. Welcome to Kevin, who's new, and anybody else who's new. I'm not going to do a big, long drunk log because I've only got 10 minutes, but I started drinking at a real young age. I drank for 33 years. 23 of those years, I also used drugs and other substances. My sobriety date is December 14th, 2002. I was 45, almost 46 years old when I came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. I was first exposed to Alcoholics Anonymous in 1984. From 1984 to 2002, I continued to do what I wanted to do. The description of an alcoholic is in these three signs right here. This one here, and the one that says there's a principle that is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. And the principle is contempt prior to investigation, and insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. Those three signs pretty much describe the type of alcoholic I was. When I came to the Rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, it was the other Alano Club over on Ben Wiley, and it fit me perfectly. There was no windows, you know, and I didn't like the 1600 Club because there was windows. So, and I didn't go to the 1600 Club for probably a year and a half. You know, it just wasn't comfortable for me. I was comfortable over there. There was a lot of people in the rooms then. Richard was one of them. Daryl was one of them. And these guys are the guys that I related to, their stories and their lifestyles and the things that they did. I did all that same stuff too. And I traveled all over the Western United States doing these things. I had a job that allowed me to do that. And I drank and drug all the way across the country. Whenever every chance I got. I went through two marriages. I have two sons that grew up in my alcoholism and my drug addiction, and they suffered through that too. Right now, both of them are doing well. One's in school up in Portland, Oregon, and the other one is in a program in Southern California. He's been here for over 8 months, clean and sober, and he's doing real well. And he's going to graduate, and he's going to return to the program, and I don't know what he doesn't know exactly what he wants to do from there. I told him, don't come back to Santa Maria. You know, I told both my sons, leave Santa Maria. There isn't anything here for them, you know, that I could see. There is no future here for them. For me, what I do is I do construction. I've been doing it for almost over 30 years. So what I do for a living is set. I can live here. I can be sober here. And I'm okay here. I drank and did most everything I did here in this valley. I went down south for a short period of time, 3 or 4 years, met my second wife, had two kids, but continued to do what I did, you know. There was people like Al McGehee, Gussie, they helped me through my sobriety. I owe all my sobriety to people like that. Billy, these are my mentors. These are guys, my sponsor is Jack S. and Leo, and my grand sponsor is Leo B., you know. And I always used to try to hang out with people with time, you know, because they had something and knew something that I didn't have and I didn't know about, you know. And I was done. The time I was in jail in December, again, one more time, and I was facing two strikeable felonies, and that's when I had that moment of clarity. After I sobered up a day or two there and realized that I finally realized there was something wrong with me. It wasn't my job, my wives, my kids, my family, my friends, and everything else that was involved in my life. There was something wrong with me. So when I came out, after I went through all the court things and everything else, I spent my first 73 days of sobriety in jail, incarcerated, you know, and they let me out again because it had been the first time I'd ever been caught, you know, with felonies, charges. Everything else was always just minor stuff, you know, misdemeanor stuff. So they let me out one more time. And because I had said that I was under the influence, all this stuff, they didn't sentence me to an alcohol or drug program. because I had the felony charges. They were more interested in the felony charges than they were anything else. And I tried to play the alcoholic, drug addict card, and they weren't having any of it. But because I admitted I was under the influence at the time, they told me to come to Alcoholics Anonymous 3 times a week, you know, for so long, whatever they decided. But I was also, I also have an anger problem, so they sent me to a anger management program for a year. And I completed that. And I learned a lot about myself in that program, you know, other than learning a lot about myself through the 12 steps, you know, my sponsor and everything else. And about 6 months into that, that's where I really learned what was probably the most deep-rooted problem in my life, you know, was I was fear-based. And I was always angry because I was fear-based. And I did not know how to express it other than drinking and using and doing all the things that I shouldn't be doing. Because I wasn't raised that way. I was raised by a very normal family, except alcohol was involved. But everything that I was taught was to do the right thing. But as soon as I turned 18 or 19 and moved out of the house, I was on, you know. I was independent. I could do whatever I wanted to do. And the longer I went, and the more I got away with, you know, it just escalated. You know? I just thought, hey, man, this is easy, you know. And I got to the frame of the mind that it was a game for me. I was going to continue to do what I wanted to do to break the law or whatever I wanted to do, and the cops' jobs was to catch me. And if they didn't catch me, I win, you know. But I got caught, and I kept getting caught, and pretty soon I was tired of, you know, them winning. So that's when I came to that moment of clarity that there was something wrong with me, and I showed up, and there was a rough crowd there at the club at that time, man. I mean, there were some hardcore sober alcoholics, and, you know, I think it was Daryl. He asked me one time, he says, how you doing? I said, I'm doing fine, man. He goes, well, what the hell are you doing here then? You know, that's the kind of truth I needed to hear, you know, because I was raised by a man that was straightforward too, you know, and didn't pull any punches. And that's what I respected, you know. I didn't want it sugar-coated. I didn't want it soft, and I didn't want it easy. I wanted to be called on my bullshit. And I'm grateful they called me on it, you know. And I mentioned Al. Al helped me a lot, man. He helped me a lot. I had to go on a 12-step one time, and I didn't have a partner, and I was trying to find someone. And I had a sponsee, and I, you know, didn't really want to take him because he was brand new. And Al looked at me and says, just go get in your damn truck, car, whatever, and go up there and do it. So I did, you know, brought the guy back. He didn't stay sober, and he didn't stay. But he did get sober later on after he almost killed himself. And he did call me about 3 years later and thank me for that, you know. And he died sober a few years ago. The opportunities that Alcoholics Anonymous has given me is unbelievable. You know, I've done several, no, not several, two or three 12 steps. A lot of sponsees, you know. I went through a lot of sponsors, you know. But Jack has been mine for quite a while now. I get to enjoy life today. I've been out of town. I've been working a lot of hours. And you know, I got a call the other day. I just got on a job out in Palmdale. I got a call back here at home. They want me to go to Camp Roberts, you know, and that's all due to staying sober, you know, all staying sober. And Alcoholics Anonymous, good credit to Alcoholics Anonymous for everything good in my life and the screwed up stuff in my life. Well, that's me, you know, because I still screw things up, you know. I've been sober. I'm working on 13 years. If you haven't figured out my sobriety date. And I'm still new at this, a lot of this stuff, you know. I'm still trying to figure it out. But if I continue to try to do the next right indicated thing, you know, I seem to get by all right. And if I got my sponsor, you know, or Leo, you know, one thing about it, if Jack isn't around, Leo's around, you know, so... And if they're not around, someone's around, you know. I've got a lot of help from a lot of people staying sober, and I'm grateful for that. George L., who's over in Bakersfield now, you know. He's another one. If you didn't want to hear the truth, better put your earplugs in when George is around, you know. I'm telling you what. And that's the kind of stuff that saved my life, you know. You know, one of the greatest things that I've got to accomplish here in Alcoholics Anonymous is, excuse me, I always get this kind of choked up thing. It's a gratitude thing, and I'm scared because I'm not a public speaker. For years, I've been a youth football coach, and there's been about 10 kids that I've coached who has someone in the fellowship, you know. And the kids pretty much know that I'm here. So I get to be an example of someone who used to be do that, you know, when they've seen what their parents go through. And, you know, that's probably the greatest thing that I've got personally accomplished here, you know. And I'm grateful for that. And, you know, I got a great relationship with a lady here, and I got a son that's 7 years old, and there at Solvang at a play. I was out of town, so I didn't get a ticket, but, you know. I'm grateful that I've got to be here tonight, and I'm grateful for Richard to ask me to do this at the last minute, you know. And I wasn't going to say no. I know what he got me after the meeting, and I didn't want to hear it, but, you know. It's an honor. It's an honor to speak before you, Richard. I come here really to see which Richard shows up tonight, because I've heard him speak several times. So if you haven't, there's another Richard. But you're going to hear a lot of truth tonight. You know, you're going to hear a lot of truth. I guarantee you that. So that's about my 10 minutes. Thank you very much.
And now I would like to ask Jason to come to the podium to read the 12th edition.